before I introduce our speaker, he has something to present before his sermon.
I trust, am I on? I stand before you with a duty to do, and it brings a little bit of sadness, but also some anticipation for what's to come. I know that life changes, and I know that all things work for good for those that love the Lord. So I'm a little saddened, but I'm also looking forward to what's going to happen for a brother and a sister and a couple of young children. I'd like to embarrass my niece and nephew and their children if they'd come forward. Am I embarrassing you? It's like I said, we have one of our own that has grown up in this East Local and married a young man who loves the Lord. Yes, you're still young. You're still young. And brought her children into the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they're going to leave us. And I know we're going to feel the void here in the East Local. I know that we fail from time to time to tell people just how much we love them and how much we appreciate their efforts. And we don't do that often enough until they leave. And I know that I'm remiss in doing that. But I know that this East Local is going to fill that void. But I know through your prayers and your love that all will go well, and I know that our brother and sister are going to remain faithful, and I know that they have a purpose, and the Lord has a purpose for them, wherever they might be, and I know that they're going to share the love that they have with those they come in contact, though they're far from us. So on behalf of the East Local, I'd like to present this to you.
I don't know, this may be the second time I've presented my dad as our speaker. I ask that you would give him your attention and you would draw your thoughts into this service. I know that he has prepared a message. I know that he has a desire that each of you would hear that message. I know that in his heart he has a love for each one of us here, and he has a desire to serve each one of us. You know that he takes that responsibility very seriously to be a servant, not just for our Heavenly Father, but for each one of us. So I pray that you would today give him your prayers and your smiles and your attention, and give him my father, Brother Steve McGee.
I feel more comfortable up here if I was introducing Kevin to preach. But it's reversed today. I have just a short reminder for you this day. A reminder of what is expected of us. A a reminder of some truths that lies within the gospel. I'm going to open with a scripture out of 1 Peter. In the first chapter, and I believe our brother Darren used, in fact, as I know he did, this particular scripture in his sermon last week. It's the first chapter of 1 Peter. I want to start and read the third and fourth verse. I want us to look at these two verses and try to understand what he's saying. Peter, to the general church, to you and I, in this church, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm sorry. That's second. Reading the wrong verse. You can tell how shook up I am this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know through that we have been born again into this gospel. We know that Jesus died and was resurrected for you and I. And through the scripture, we know that we will be resurrected someday. Each and every one of us is going to have our souls and our bodies come together again. And we have the knowledge of that, the acceptance of that. And there's no doubt. Okay, there's no doubt, I don't believe in any one of our minds, that this is going to take place. But, you know, it's just not for us. This resurrection is going to take place for everyone, good or bad, right or wrong, worthy or not. Everyone is going to be resurrected at the end time. And that's because of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And it's not that we are worthy, it's a gift. It's a gift that he gave to mankind, that everyone can look forward to that. But in that third verse, it talks about having a lively hope. If everyone's going to be raised up, where does that hope lie? And what is that hope all about? Well, it's in verse 4. It is in verse 4. This is where our lively hope is. A resurrection to an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. And I want you to contemplate that just a little bit. That place that is reserved in heaven for you. Now, I don't know when, you know. I don't know when Christ is going to do that. You know, I don't know whether there's already a place reserved for me or there's going to be a place reserved for me. It matters not. I would like to think, but it's just my thoughts, that he's prepared a place for every soul that he created. I would like to think that it's there, just waiting for you and for me. He told his disciples in John, I believe it's John, that he was going to prepare a place for them. You know, he was, when he left, He was going to do it. He also says, caused to be written in Corinthians, that it's a place that is absolutely beyond our comprehension. A place that we cannot fathom the joy that lies there. We cannot see it. We cannot understand it in our mind's eye. How great that is. You know, I didn't realize till I was preparing that's also mentioned in Isaiah. In the 64th chapter of Isaiah, it says the same thing, that there is a place. But our preparation for that is what makes this a lively hope. And I don't know what the term lively means to you, but it's an activity, an actual physical activity. And if we have that hope, it stands to reason that we're to be busy about that, preparing our hearts and our lives that we might receive that which the Lord has prepared. We know, I hope we know, what is required of us in that lively hope. I think it's spelled out especially clear in the scriptures in the Book of Mormon of what is expected. I can think upon King Benjamin and the words that he caused to be delivered, the preparation that he made for his followers, those that loved him, just before he was about to leave, he was preparing them. And it's a life of service, that lively hope. If it doesn't entail a life of service to Jesus Christ, if it doesn't entail a life of service to those that we are in contact with, then there's not much hope there. There is not much hope. Oh, yes, we will be resurrected. But without that service, without that work, without that selflessness that is required, there is no hope. We will not be where we desire to be. The scriptures tell us that. The scriptures are plain. We cannot expect that inheritance. We cannot expect that which is beyond our imaginations without doing what the Lord requires us to do. And that's to be like Him, to have the nature of Jesus Christ. If that is not our intent in this gospel, if that is not what we are striving to do and where we're striving to go, then we're lost. If we are not striving to have the nature of Jesus Christ, and you need to think about what the nature of Jesus Christ is. If that is not our goal, we're not going to be there. We read in John about the parable of the shepherd and the door. You know, we say, well, Jesus Christ is that shepherd and the door. Yes, He is. But His life and how He lived it is the door in which we need to walk through. Our lives have to be in tune and emulate Christ. And it's maybe that was a poor term. Have to. We need to. Or maybe a better term is we get to. We get to follow after Jesus Christ. It is, if it's not a joy, if it is not a joy to you, then there's something wrong. There's something missing. Do you know what's missing if that's the case? Do I know what's missing if that's not the case? If it's not a joy to be selfless, if it's not a joy to be of service, then there's something that is most important missing within me. And it's love. It's the love of Jesus Christ. If I am here in this church standing up before you, delivering it because it's an obligation and I think I can earn it that way, then I don't have an inheritance. It is our life's work. If it's not our life's work, then we haven't entered into it the right way. We haven't entered into it in and through Jesus Christ. We are seeking to come up a back way, to slip in, to do what is good enough. Well, if that is our idea and our thoughts, then it won't be good enough. It'll never be good enough. I want to turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and you have to forgive me of my reading here. My Bible is torn right in two in this scripture. I'm very rough on things. I want to read the first 8 verses. Tells us how. Tells us how. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. A life's work. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's us. That is what we have received in and through Jesus Christ. And it is my walk of life, or should be. Needs to be, has to be. It's how to be happy. It is how to be happy. It states so in the, I'll turn to it. In the 13th chapter of John. I'll start with the 13th verse. And we know the message. Okay, Christ has come there. He has taken off his outer clothing. He has knelt before his disciples. He has washed their feet. He has dried them off. And he's leaving them with a message. And he says in the 13th verse, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, do you know these things? Do you know that this is true? He says, happy are ye if you do them. That is the way and the only way for absolute contentment in this life. And yes, I am looking and you are looking for life eternal. I'm looking to prepare my life that I might receive that reward. But you know, the Lord looks at me and he looks at me and not only am I nearsighted, but I'm short-sighted. And most of us are short-sighted. And we look at our lives as a long time, you know. And here I am. But he's given me this job, this vocation to do. To prepare. Well, you know, I've worked for close to 50 years I've worked. And I've worked so I could come to about this time in my life when I could retire, have a little income, a little peace, a little contentment. I've worked, you know, and I'm not going to tell you I deserve it, but I've worked at times hard during those 50 years for this time. But, you know, during those 50 years, weekly I was paid. You know, I was given some money so I could survive, so I could provide for my family. And I believe it's the same way with God. Yes, we are working. We are working for the goal, and that is salvation. But in that work, he knows that we need something along the way to sustain us, to give us that peace and contentment. He knows what we need. So I'd like to turn back into Peter, and I'll try to hit the right Peter this time. And read those two verses plus the fifth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And the fifth verse, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I'm kept. I am kept right now by God for a purpose. So are you. Don't you know that you are kept for God's purpose? I think back over my life, and you can too, and see how you have been kept. Some 25, 30 years ago, It was long before my wife started working in insurance. So I don't know how long that's been. Longer than 27 years ago, she just informed me. At least 27 to 30 years ago, I can tell you I was at death's door. I was at death's door. I knew that what was upon me was fatal. I knew of a surety it was fatal. You know, I believe it or not, 27, 30 years ago, I was pretty strong. And I could work 10, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. It's the way I was raised, the way I was taught. But there came a time, 27, 30 years ago, that I became weakened. And weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. There came a time when I was full of bruises. Every place I was touched, I was bruised. And I knew exactly what it was. It's what took me. Took my aunt at 40 years old. I knew what it was. I became so weakened after I would come home from work and in the bathtub when you work with grease and dirt, it's the only way to get clean, is soak it off. And I would be in there and I would wonder if I was going to be able to get out of that tub. Day after day after day, I knew what I had. And I knew that it would be fatal. Well, I called two ministers. One happened to be your father-in-law. And he came and administered to me. And I called Larry. And he came and administered to me. But before that, my wife, working for a doctor at such time, they took blood. And the results came back, and the doctor said, you need to go elsewhere. There is something wrong. I knew what was wrong. He knew what was wrong. So he sent me to an internist. And in the meantime, that's when I was administered to twice. And I came home from after that second administration and worked all day. And I hopped in that bathtub and I washed off the dirt and the grease of the day. And there was no more bruising. And it was gone. And I jumped out of that bathtub like I always jumped out of that bathtub. And I went to that internist who drew more blood. And he called me for a consultation later. And he says, well, it's a possibility. It's a possibility that they got the blood confused and that first drawing was someone else's blood. Because this doesn't make sense. But it did make sense because it was the same blood. I know it was the same blood, and I think he knew it was the same blood. But I was healed. No. I was kept. I was kept. And I was kept for a purpose. By the power of God, I was kept for a purpose. And if you look at your life, and everyone in here, this is a testimony, everyone in here has the same testimony. And you have been kept for a purpose in this life, God's purpose. Not my purpose to live my life as I want to, but for His purpose. For His vocation that He has given you of service. Not just the ministry that you see here, but every soul that I'm speaking to right now has been called for that purpose and that reason and kept in God's love and in God's touch. Goodness gracious, I can go from front row all the way down here, and everyone in here can give me exactly the same type of testimony. Well, there's a reason. There is a reason. Yes, God loves us. And He gives us gifts, but He gives us and keeps us for His purpose, not our own purpose. And we best know what that purpose is. We best not ever forget what that purpose is. I want to turn in the Book of Mormon and read about a brother who recognized this just like I recognize it. And he testified of this. 2nd Book of Nephi, 3rd chapter. And this brother says, My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities, and I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which thus so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God has been my support. He has led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He has preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He has kept me as He kept this Nephi for a purpose. And we know, if we read about Nephi's life, what that purpose was. He kept Nephi for a purpose, as He has kept me, as He has kept you for a purpose in Him. No other reason. No other reason is worthy. No other reason is worthwhile. He hath confounded mine enemies into the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, He has heard my cry by day and has given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And we read on how He has kept. And in the 47th verse, he says, rejoice, O my soul, and give no more place for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord and say, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will praise thee forever. That is your purpose. That is your purpose. In Jacob, on page 171, in the Book of Mormon, it simply states, and all flesh is of the dust, and for the selfsame end has He created them, that they should keep His commandments and glorify Him forever. That's it. That is it. That is my purpose and your purpose and no other purpose other than to glorify Jesus Christ, glorify our Father in heaven by being of service and putting on the love of Jesus Christ and the nature of Christ. And if that is not our goal, we're not going to reach our goal. If that is not what your life is about, if your life and my life is about getting by, we're not going to get by. if you have felt the love of Jesus Christ within you to where you couldn't stand it, to where it was so tremendous, and I have felt that, He wants that all the time for us. Every waking moment, He wants that for us. In John, it says, this is the way to do it, folks. This is the way to be happy. And it says, happy are you if you do it. He wants our joy to be full in this life and in the life to come. He tells us exactly how to receive both. And they're the same answer, folks. It's the same work. I want to stop now. It's something you all know. It's something we all know. And we all know it's true. And we all, everyone in this room, wants to be happy. Let me see hands. Does anybody here want to be sad? You know? I mean, we all want to have happiness and joy in our lives. And guess what the Lord says? Hey, it's spelled out. It tells us how from the very beginning, from the time that we've received the testimony of Jesus Christ into our hearts, He leads us on. The Book of Mormon tells us it's a path. And it makes it sound endure to the end. No, to grow, to have joy until the end of your life. And that's what He wants us to have. And that is growth in the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm not telling you that that's possible. I'm telling you it's the only way. It is the only way. I've spoken long enough. I do appreciate your time. And if you have opportunity, wish our brother and sister after the service give them a hug and a kiss. I won't hug you or kiss you, Kenny, but I'll shake your hand. Wish them a